So, speaking of Kedushas Yisrael, right? So we're in the middle of discussing, or towards the end of discussing, it's like Tamba. But again, there are other aspects. Obviously, it could go on and on, but we don't want it to. So we'll have to integrate some of the other things, you know, when we can going forward. But just to finish up a couple of the ideas, and then we will get back to filling out the picture and some of the topics a little bit later on. But I think mostly we're in the middle of discussing the bracha, Birchas HaShkita. It's clear that there is a bracha. The question is, what is the nature of that bracha, whether it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, whether it's a Birchas Shemach Mahoda'a, the implications of those, whether the bracha is different than Kadshim and the Chulin, and especially whether the bracha, any aspect of it, whether it's Nusach or just especially if it's even the viability of a bracha itself, is connected to the fact that there is Shechitas Kadshim. And so these are all the questions that we have been discussing. And the point is that, I guess if you wanted to divide it into two camps, that, you know, there is one perspective which just sees all of this, again, in terms of the rules of Hilchos Brachos, you know, whether you do make a bracha, whether it's a Birchas HaMitzvah or Birchas Shevach, what the Nusach HaBracha is, etc., whether the same bracha is going to be used, let's say, notwithstanding, some cases you're talking about a chaya, sometimes a behema, sometimes an oaf. Also, again, part of the Rambam discussion, especially according to the Kesef Mishnah. All these questions are obviously half of the discussion is to figure out what the typical rules are. What's the rule when you have a connected or even a dominant Iser? Right, that's the the Rabbi Avad, Rabbi Yosef, even Palat, and the Prima Gadim, discussion. What are the rules generally when you have the potential for Nusach HaBracha, which is more Kalali, but also could have been more Prati, in other words. When do you, go for the more overlapping, or the more common denominator of Bracha and whatnot? Again, when do you make a Birchas HaMitzvah? When do you make a Birchas Shevach V'Hoda? Right, the discussion of the Rush. And a little bit the discussion of the Taz, namely, if does it matter if others can be Mevarech on your behalf, and do you have to have, is there a kind of a Kolaroi Labila, do you have to have the potential to do it yourself? Can other people be Mevarech on your behalf only if they're already in the process of doing the Maisa themselves? That's a debate between the Rishonim already, but again, the Taz and the Shach in Yoredeya, as we saw the other day, the Shach on that piece says that this whole idea that somebody else would provide the bracha and that you would provide the shechita, is only if they're also shechting. So then they're doing a shechita and a bracha, and you are jumping in and benefiting from their bracha. But this is, again, it sounds this way as some Rishonim, but if they, if Reuven is doing the shechita and Shimon wants to make the bracha, you can't do that. And the Taz, again, disagrees. That's part of his disagreement, since he concludes that it's a Birchas Shevach Mahoda. He thinks that is possible. So again, the Nusach HaBracha, the bracha itself, the timing of the bracha, the Klali Nusach of the Nusach HaBracha, the timing of the bracha, whether somebody, b'diavad, if you hold like a Rambam and you hold that generally Birchas HaMitzvah has to precede the mitzvah, unless it's an elongated or extended mitzvah. We'll talk about that for a second as well. So, what about the mitzvah of shechita? If you didn't do the shechita b'di'eved, could you make the bracha afterwards? Presumably, according to the Taz, anybody who thinks it's a Birchas Shevach V'Hoda, you could. Maybe even more of a question, maybe you should. Like, if this is really a Birchas Shevach V'Hoda, why isn't it L'chatchila after? Again, we do have a model, for this in the Taz, although he himself doesn't invoke it, but again, something we talked about in previous years, and that is the Ramban's view about Birchas HaTorah. Ramban's view of Birchas HaTorah is that it's Daraisa, that it belongs it rather deserves a separate mitzvah in the minyan of mitzvahs, which he counts, but also that it is a birchas shevach of the hodah rather than a birchas hamitzvah. So, maybe the only one d'oraisa, but it's curious that it's done before. Typically, birchas shevach v'hodah are done afterwards. There are certain, typically, birchas shevach v'hodah is based on, the effect or the experience. You do something, and then you kind of, rhapsodize, spiritually rhapsodize, halachically rhapsodize about it and its significance. And the model of the Ramban proves that, in some cases, the anticipation, is just as or, sufficiently enough to generate a bracha, in some cases, maybe even more so, than the aftermath. We'll assume not more so in this case. So Birchas HaTorah, or moreover, the posture, the perspective of the articulating your Shevach V'Hodah is something that not only is subject to anticipation, maybe doing that, actually enhances, the experience and the content of the experience itself. So you'd have to say something in the Taz like that from Birchas HaShechita, as opposed to, let's say, natural phenomena, which maybe can't be anticipated fully, or even if you can anticipate it, but it's a pale, connection to it relative to the actual, event itself. So, like whether it's lightning or thunder, or experiencing the presence of multitudes or a great person, etc. Typically, the aftermath is the right time to make a birchas shevach v'hodah. But again, it's curious that wouldn't be the case according to the Taz when it comes to shechita. Right? In other words, it's not like, again, for the Rush, about Birchas Erusin. Right. So again, there are certain things where knowing what they are and articulating them kind of, as I say, enhance them. And again, they are spiritually so significant that just contemplating their significance already, generates enough appreciation that it requires a bracha, and maybe, as I say, maybe that's the right time to do it. But either way, these are all very important questions connected to Birchas HaMitzvah, Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, etc., and so on. And, these questions, as I say, mostly, could be understood in a narrower way based on the larger criteria. That's why the exchange between Rabbi Yosef Yehud Palat and the Rabbi Abad, and then the Bala Itur's editions, and so on and so forth, and then, as I say, that is an ongoing topic that, Rishonim and then the Poskim and Achronim, talk about. All of that, is about what determines each of these types of brachos, etc. However, what we've been trying to say is that, in addition to all of that, obviously the second ingredient always is how do you assess shechita, and that will determine, once you have a criteria issue, nailed down, whether or not this particular bracha fits in, and especially contrasting it, with other brachas. So how much of a mitzvah is it? Is it a more positive mitzvah or a more negative mitzvah? How closely connected it is to Nevela. Frankly, how connected is it to Kisui Adam, at least on the Kadshim parts of it? Also an issue which is discussed in that same tshuva and in other places. We'll have a chance, hopefully, to talk about it more. But the idea that Kisui Adam in Korbanos, Kisui Adam, rather, in general, not Korbanos, but the Kisui Adam is required, is it the siyum of the Shechita? And that's a major debate that, again, the same exchange records, and there are other echoes of it as well, the Bahag, the Rush. It's a big, big topic. It has something to do with the question of Hefsek also, which we'll talk about in a minute, or we'll allude to now, and then we'll pin it down a little bit later. But obviously, the more Shechita is connected to Kisei, you could see that in a technical way, but especially according to the Ramban in his Perish Al Torah and others, that Kisi Adam is connected to this idea of Dam, you know, being Nefesh, and, you know, Shkita is to, you know, focus proper in the right way on those factors, going back to Ador Rishon and Noach, you know, and Kadshim and so on. And Kisi Adam is connected to that as well. That's one of the arguments that the Ramban makes in his Perish Al Torah in a bunch of places. So the idea that Shechita and Kisi Adam, whether you mean, this affects the bracha on Kisi Adam, and it also affects Birchas Shechita. And even the possibility of making a bracha after the Shechita, but still prior to the Kisi Adam, is connected to this. So the more you think that Kisi Adam isn't just, you know, created by the background of Shechita, and it's a mitzvah of Pneatzvah. Everybody's counting it as a mitzvah of Pneatzvah. But the more you think that they're connected mitzvahs, that also reflects something about Shechita, that too is part of our issue and part of our topic. And of course, as I say, closely connected to that is the question of Hefsek. If you have somebody shechting many animals, right, and you want to know whether or not it's sufficient to have a single bracha, you know, for that, and let's say there's Kisui Adam in between, like the Shechita and Kisui, and then another Shechita, it's a second scenario. That's also something to consider. And a third scenario, when you have a Sicha, you know, you have a Hefsek between Shechting, you know, multiple animals. So in all those cases, you can imagine there are diyunim in the in some cases in the Rishonim, in some cases later, you know, regarding the need for a separate Birchas HaShechita or not. Again, I maybe Sunday if we have a couple of minutes, maybe we'll just discuss some of the details of this. But Tosis in Chulin and Ramban and others, you know, debate these issues. Once again, the question is, the more you look at it in terms of, you know, is this Birchas HaMitzvah and applies, you know, to the criteria that apply that? And if so, again, what is the mitzvah here? Is there a difference between sicha bein bracha rishona l'shchita harishona, and between a sicha or hefsek, you know, between after the bracha, after the first shchita, you know, but before the other shchitas, right? And again, you compare this to birchas hananim or to birchas hamitzvah. Or, you know, is it treated in some different way because of the particular nature of Shechita? Is it a Berachas HaMitzvah, Berachas Shalach Ba'odah? These are all issues in the Bracha, you know, which draw upon these two perspectives. The very fact that there might be a Berachas Shalach Ba'odah on something like Shechita, as we said before, certainly, although ironically, you know, takes away, you would think it detracts, you know, from, well, it's not a mitzvah because there's no birchas mitzvah. As opposed to the Rishonim are working hard, especially if that's what the Rambam had in mind, but certainly even if not the Rambam, that others certainly had it in mind, that, oh, it's, you know, it's a mitzvah, it's, you know, not just a echo of the lav, therefore it requires a bracha, a birchas mitzvah. But that's certainly something that projects Shechita the way that we have been discussing it. You would think, well, it's not a birchas mitzvah, so, you know, not such a big deal. It doesn't really highlight the Kedusha aspect of Shechita. But in certain ways, it's exactly the opposite, right? If you think that that Shechita requires a Birchas Shevach Behodah, and again, that's why the formulation of the Taz is so interesting, too, because he really does speak about, you know, Kedushas Yisrael as being what it is that you're Meshaveach, the Isra of Eber Menachai or Nevela, etc. So then, you know, ironically, by dropping Birchas HaMitzvah but turning to Birchas Shevach Lehodah, you've actually accentuated this part of Shechita even more than you might have otherwise. And surely that is very, very significant. Okay, so we have a lot of details. Again, maybe we'll get a chance on the Sicha, Bein Zeh LeZeh in particular, and a few other things just to, you know, hit it down a little bit more, but you get the general. We get the general idea. Do you make a birchas hashkita just one more second on a treifa? That's a year located, you know, the animal's a treifa. Do you make a Birchas Hashchit on that? Or let's say you have something which is Machalos Asuros, you know, not Nevela, obviously, not Trefa, but for some other reason, something that is cannot be eaten. Would you make a Birchas Hashchita on being Motzi Midei Nevela or not? Or let's say you just, you know, you're not intending to eat the animal, you know, but you want to shecht it. I don't know, practice, I don't know, whatever it is. Would you make a Birchas Hashchita in that case? Meaning, in addition to the other thing, both on the Birchas HaMitzvah level and on the Birchas Shevach V'Hodah level, is the bracha focused on the matir of achila? That would be very, very important. The heter achila, or on the ma'isa itself, right? On neutralizing the state of Avraham ben Achai or Nevela, or is it on heter of, or is it on the effect rather of tahara bidei tumas Nevela? So these two are very interesting issues. I told you if you got a chance again, I want to get through certain things today, so I'm not going to go into details right now. But if you look at the Ramah and the Bach, like in Simin Yud Tes, and contrast that to what they quote in the name of Rashi, Chuvas Rashi, the Marshal, right? Do you make a bracha on a trefa or not? Yeah. Let's say you're shechting for non-Jews, but you do shkita, right? So you're not going to eat it. No Klal Yisrael member is going to eat it. Right? Is there any birchas hashchita in that case? Or let's say you have whatever. You get the idea. Similarly, let's say it's a bracha. Do you make a bracha in the case of a shchita, which is only necessary midrabanu? Right. What about that? So again, it might end up being a matir lemaisa, but you know the animal doesn't need shchita, like a ben pakua. That's a big issue. Ben pakua in general is an interesting topic, which we'll discuss. So. Who mentioned to me the Asva Daraisa about Ben Pekua the other day? I forget. Somebody came over to mention to me. No? Base Medrash? What? Nobody. Nobody wants. Oh, it was Aryeh? But not here. Not here to get his credit. Yeah, Aryeh Kamenetsky, correct. Now it's all coming back to me. You know, it's a little foggy. Aryeh pointed out there's a big simon, he told me, in Rabbi Yosef Engel's Sefer Asvan Daraisa on Ben Pakua and the fact that it doesn't need Shechita and some other issues, but you know, that's a question. You know, it's the Shechita of the mother, you know, is Mitzuraf to the Ben Pakua, or the Ben Pakua doesn't need, you know, Shechita. That's like a big issue. But do you make a bracha if assuming that the Ben Pakua needs Shechita midrabanan? Would that occasion a birchas? So there are a lot, as you can see, there are a lot of questions and a lot of issues connected to this. But as I say, it's a double question. And what we're mostly interested in is how does the perspective on Shechita fit into all of this? And what we have seen, anybody who's invoking Kadshim, Shechita's Kadshim, or the status of Shechita, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes, in the Midbar, which is a very small moment in the history of Klal Yisrael, and from which, you know, there have been changes, obviously, Doraisa changes. It's like, why would we ever, as I said, why would we ever invoke that? But the answer is, you know, you would, it's not, you know, oh, the Nusach HaKabua or the Lo Plug from that time. I don't think that's a pshat. The real pshat seems to be that what happened in those moments, even though normatively, we've moved beyond that, still highlights certain relationships. The relationship between Shechita and Nevela. The question whether Shechita is more associated, with the world of Kadshim. So the origin story of all these dinim, right, figures in conceptually, still a bit. Again, you could have said, "Well, what changed wasn't the details, but the concept also changed." In other words, it used to be that we saw Shechita as something belonging to the world of Kachim, and once it was Knisa La'aretz, etc., it was completely stripped of that status. Then, what you're saying is that what happened in the Midbar, you know, is old history, interesting old history, right? But not necessarily relevant, even conceptually, to what we do today. Of course, not pragmatically. What I'm saying is that anybody who quotes it and thinks it is relevant is basically saying, yeah, we don't do this anymore. But the idea of behind it is still alive and well. The idea that Shechita on some level is independent of Nevela, or that it drives Nevela but isn't just driven by Nevela, or, you know, whatever, those concepts are alive and well. So we had it in the Orzeroa, we have it in the Rosh, we have it in, you know, Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat and the Rabbi Avad. And we've had it in a bunch of other places. We had it in the Radvaz about, you know, Tzviva Ayal, Chaya, in other words. So we've had it continuously, again and again. And surely, that is very significant. Okay, so that is in terms of Birchas Hashchita. Is there a question, or we're good? Yeah.
So if we're going to argue that, like, the Taz does, that's a Birchas Hashchita, and that buttresses the notion that then why can't we extend that into other contexts, and which the Taz himself does, that actually it's the bracha of Birchas Hashem Avodah that would capture the notion that something's about Kedushas Yisrael more so than if it was a Birchas Hamitzvah, such as by Kedushin.
By what?
Such as by Kedushin.
Well, I do think, well, again, there aren't so many of these, right? I mean, normally I say there aren't so many in advance, number one. But if you ask me the Rosh's view of Kiddushin, I don't think that I would quote the Rosh's perspective on Birchas Shemach V'Hodah as strong evidence, you know, that Eirusin reflects on Kiddushas Yisrael.
So what wouldn't be evidence? I mean, as long as there's any type of bracha that
well, I'm saying it's very rare to have this. I mean, again, this the Birchas Eirusin, what I like to do with the Rush and Eirusin is to say, you know, identified, you know, I mean, not that he discovered, because it's always been there, right? I mean, the fact that this is a very long, complex, unusual bracha is just, you know, those are the facts. But I guess the Rush was the one who first, or at least most, you know, zeroed in on the fact that this unusual character, you know, is really requires some sort of halachic, you know, explanation. You know, and again, by he did us enormous favor in learning Chulin too, by saying what, you know, Vitzivanu al Arayo, so want to say, you know, Vitzivanu al Eivar Menachayim. So he helped us out on Shechita too in the process. But in the end of the day, his view that it's Birchas Shemach V'Hodah is a way, his way of saying, well, the mitzvah, Eirusin, again, most people don't agree with the Rush. They think that the mitzvah is the Eirusin. So what I like to do with the Rush, I'll just make it clearer, is I like to take the ha'aros of the Rush and even the approach of the Rush, that this is Shavach V'Hodah, you know, it's about Kedushas Yisrael, and I like to say that that's, I think it's true, that for the Rambam, Udi'imei, which in this case is, you know, 90% of the Rishonim, who think that it is a Birchas HaMitzvah, and who don't think, you know, that, you know, Yerushalmi is right and should say, Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvos HaMitzvahnu, you know, L'Kadish HaSa'isha, right, that for them, what they're integrating these two things. They're saying, this is a Birchas HaMitzvah, and it's important when you do this particular mitzvah, as a, like when you do Tkiyah Shofar, when you do Netilas Lulav, and when you sit in the Sukkah, everybody understands what that is, because the Torah said, do this, do that, and do the next thing. But the Torah never said, do Eirusin, right? And especially if our interpretation is correct, is, you know, Kishi Yertza Ish, Lisa Isha, you know, that's, so the point is that, and it's an Oser, so what we're trying to explain is, this is a Birchas HaMitzvah, this is a mitzvah. What kind of a mitzvah? A very different kind of a mitzvah. A mitzvah by virtue of the dimension, you know, that it adds. So I'm taking all the, you know, could be I'm cheating, but I don't think so. I'm taking the benefit of the Rosh's questions and his analysis, and I'm suggesting that, you know, this particular mitzvah, because it is so unusual, it's not a straightforward Chovas HaGavra under all conditions, that it requires a longer Birchas HaMitzvah for that. Now, if Birchas Shechita was that, that would be terrific too. then the parallel would be totally, in play. But it isn't an oser before the map here, so I'm not really so bothered by it. Now, there aren't so many others like that, which, we're not sure whether it's a birchas hamitzvah or birchas hamavodah. I think whenever they are, what occasions shemach mavodah, right? So I'm saying, if you're talking about, lightning and thunder, so we know what that is. Baruch Shalom is might in the world. But why would Shechita occasion a Shemach Vahodah? That's what I'm really trying to say. So anytime you do encounter, in the rare times that you do encounter that, something that looks like a Berachas HaMitzvah is really a Berachas Shemach Vahodah, and we're wondering what distinguishes it from, a hundred other, brachos, which are straight up Berachas HaMitzvah, I think we need to explain it. Now, is this always going to be the explanation? I'm not sure. But in this case, Taz tells us that that's the explanation. And given the past history, and I'll discuss the Ramban, Zala Torah in just a second, a little bit more on Trefa and Nevela, the reinforced cumulative impression, that this is all about, distinguishing Klal Yisrael and elevating physical actions, or needs, to a spiritual, meaningful level. I think that's the inexorable, conclusion that you have to come to. Now, if you had, 10 other cases, and they didn't really fit in, where of things that look like Birchas HaMitzvah, but really are Birchas Shavach V'Hodah, then we'd have to either explain them or scrap this idea. But I don't think there are, frankly. I think whenever we have this, and the suggestion is made, that it typically is about, exactly, not so much performing the mitzvah, because it maybe doesn't qualify to mitzvah level, because it's too negative, because it's too contingent, because it's too much of a reshus, but it really kind of taps into something bigger. Again, in the case of Birchas Eirusin, because you have all these objective simanim of it, how long it is, what it's talking about, the negative part, and also you have the chasima, which just, that's kind of the end of the story. Mekadesh Shemo Yisrael or Mekadesh Shemo Yisrael in Chuppah Kedusha. If the Nusach HaBracha of Birchas, Shkitas Chulin was about Mekadesh Yisrael, that would be the best. But it isn't, so we have to get over that. And, but if you ask me, still, is it? I mean, he says it's about Kedushas Yisrael. But even if he didn't say it, we kind of would know. Okay. Just on regarding the Taz also, Ellie just brought to my attention, right? I said I was contrasting the Taz to the Rush. We should just be clearly a little more accurate. And that what the Taz is really saying is within the Rush. I mean, the Rush's view of distinguishing between Birchas Hafrashas Truma and Shechita. But I just, so he was just asking me an interesting question, and that is, if you look at the Rush in Ksuvis, right, the Rush in Ksuvis seems to be contrasting Birchas Shechita and Birchas Eirusin. Birchas Eirusin is Shevach V'Hodah, and it sounds like, and I think, it's pretty conclusive, that Birchas Eirusin is Shevach V'Hodah, but that Birchas Shechita is Birchas HaMitzvah. He's just trying to explain why that is. Right, so those are the explanations that follow, which are so important. So at the end of the day, how could the Taz, this is your question, right? How could the Taz suggest that Birchas Shechita, according to the Rush, is Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, when the Rush himself in Ksuva is clearly held that way? So I think that's a good question. I don't really buy so much that that is what the Rush had in mind, even though I think it works. There are other, I think, explanations for the Rush. Right, I mean, it's not. I mean, the Taz was certainly inspired by the Chiluk to come up with this conclusion. Whether that means that we are, convinced that or persuaded that that's what the Rush had in mind, that's a different point. But it is a good ha'ara. Putting the two together does create some sort of a question mark. I do think that that is true. Okay, now having said all of this, so. Let's talk just a little bit more about some of the related. Again, I will get back to the question of Kisui Adam and Sach Bain, if I have a chance, we'll get back to that a little bit later. But having said all of this, right, I do want to talk very quickly about that Ramban, the Ramban in Shmos and the Ramban in Devarim, and Natan asked me why I didn't mention, you know, the Rambam's discussion about why Chulin is in Sefer Kachim, so I had intended to do that, and the Gemara here. So let's just do those quickly, because they do fit in. We could leave them for later, but we might as well get them. Okay. So let's talk about the interesting comment of the Ramban. Okay, in Nevela. So what is the... what's the story with Ramban on Nevela? Perish all the Torah? What's that? So that's the question. So you have the language. The Ramban in Devarim, what is it, Nidal and Chafalef? So what has a pasuk go? Have it? What is it? Yud Dalid Chaf Aleph.
Says,
yeah. Okay, so that's a pact pasuk, you know, right? I'm saying, you agree? That's a pact pasuk. Okay. Keep it open if you have the ta'amim there. So lo tochel kol nevela. Okay, fine. But this lager asher b'sharecha tekneno v'achala is of course really intriguing. Right, why is the Torah telling you that the nevela should be given to a ger, you know, to eat or as a matan? Like, what is that? Right? You could, you should. Why is the Torah telling you this about? There are many isurim, many dinim that don't apply to non-Jews, right? And the Torah doesn't tell you, you can't do this, but there are many things where there's no Yisrael. No, let me say it that way. I mean, everybody knows there's a debate between Chizkiah and Rambam, you know, whether when the Torah is silent is the default that Yisurei, Macholos Asuras are also Yisurei Hanah, or not. Okay, that's an interesting question. It could be a practical question. I mean, just simply what does the Torah have in mind? Or it could be default, or it could be a conceptual question too about the relationship between Yisuri Achila and Yisuri Ana, and or how, you know, how you understand Yisurim generally. In other words, they should be Asur, they should be off limits, even in terms of Ana or not. Okay, that's an interesting debate. But the point is, there are still quite a few. There are many Macholos Asuros, and the Torah doesn't say, you know, Lanachri. You know, lagera shevet sharecha rather titnena v'achala. So this is very unusual. At minimum, it's very unusual. We'll see even more in a second. And then, of course, the seifa. You're saying, Shai, that kiam kadoshata l'Hashem elokecha. And then you have losav hashol gadi b'chalei v'imo. Like as if there isn't enough packed in this one teeny, not so teeny, this one pasuk. Okay, it's a multi-complex. Pasuk. So what is this all about? And of course the Torah here, Kiyam Kadosh HaTal Hashem Elokecha, speaks about this being a function of Kedushas Yisrael. So the Ramban is, his eye was caught by Kiyam Kadosh HaTal Hashem Elokecha. What does he say? You have it?
Yeah,
if you have it, go ahead. So basically that's intriguing. It's not what you said a minute ago.
After,
right. I mean, for the Ramban, so read the trup. Are you a Balkari?
Not so much.
You don't have to sing
the
it.
At least.
What?
I know at least the Atnafta.
Ah, okay, good. So how does it read? Meaning what? What's after the Kiyam Kadosh Hashem Elokecha? That's the Asnachta.
Yeah.
And then you have. So the Ramban basically is reading here. Well, one time. So what is the Ramban's reading? That Kiyam Kadosh Hashem Elokecha refers to Losav Vashel Gadi B'Chalei V'Imo. That's against the trap. Correct?
Yes.
I mean, the trap, which is the Asnachta, means that the way to break up the Pasuk is that you read it, right? Losochu Kondevela, Lager Sher B'Sharecha Tidenu V'Achala, Omachol Nachri Kiam Kadosh Atal Hashem Elokecha. Pause. Lo Sevashel Gadi Bachalev Imo. The Ramban says Davek. That's what he's telling you. He knows that he's going against the trap, but he thinks that it's still the right chat. It's amazing. Davak Im Lo Sevashel Gadi Bachalev Imo. Go ahead. Ki Enenu Machol Nitav. Go ahead.
Yes, or atol hiyotanu kedoshim v'ma'achalim.
Yeah.
Atol hiyotanu kedoshim shelo nihye am achzari lo yirachamu lo yirachemu shenachlo v'ta'im v'notzi mimena ha'chelet shenivashel bo ha'pe.
Yeah, so I guess interesting all those things, those are two different things, right? Number one, it's a function of kedushas machalim. Like, there's nothing wrong with the basa b'chalav. The ingredients are each fine. I guess even the combination isn't so bad. But it's a function of, not of avoiding a davar mituav, or whatever, we'll talk about that in a minute, but of committing to kedusha. Or it has to do with achzarius, which reminds us of the Ramban in, again, Kan Sipor, that we talked about, right? So it's more, you know, I guess not objectively the food, but it's about at all, but it's about, you know, this cultivating this midah of rachmanus. Okay, go ahead. The avol pi b'labaze, in which case it sounds like you, the achzari thing isn't really a factor. That's only being labasha or whatever. Nonetheless, right. Okay, it's all associated with Axarius because of the Lopla. Okay, the Sfarno on this pasuk, do you have that by any chance? Do you have Mikaros Kedolos there?
Yeah.
Oh, great. What does the Sfarno say? About Am Kadosh.
Oh, okay.
So basically, the Sfarno says what the Ramban says, except about Nevela, not just about Basa B'chalav, and the Sfarno is actually more in keeping with the trap, right? Then you have the Ramban, an interesting Ramban in about Trefa, and Pasuk, Perikah Beis, Pasuk Laman and Shmos. Okay, Josh, you have that? First the Pasuk. Here it's even more up front, right? Tashlichu Noso. Okay, again, it's interesting, the Torah, just like the Torah said, give away the nevela, here it's saying, you know, give away the trefa, but to your kelev, or whatever. It's not asar bahana, and it also tells you proactively what to do with it. But the pasuk begins with anche kodesh to you and li, right, once again implying, you know, that this is a function of a positive status and requirement, not so much, you know, something, you know, that is, you know, inherently objectionable about trefa. In here, Ramban is even more expansive, but here it's about trefa. Go ahead. Josh, add it. Till now, we're talking about dvarim ha-mechu'arim, negative things. Okay, v'ata. There's nothing in the ingredients here that's problematic, right? Go ahead. Here again, it's the goal, the aspiration of taharas hanefesh, not so much the, you know, the objectionable status or quality of the basar treifa. Okay. What is this Taharas HaNefesh? Okay, we talked about Rambam's Taharas HaNefesh, right? This is the Ramban's Taharas HaNefesh. We also have seen Rambam's Taharas HaNefesh, right, when he was talking about, again, the need for Shkita, the need to avoid Dam. This is all, like, very, very, very consistent. Okay, go ahead. Shetochal Dvarim Nikiyim. Go Go ahead.
Yeah.
Right, for the sake of Dveikus Bashem, right, or Imitati Odei, right, Kikadosh Ani Hashem Elokeka. Lufikach. Right, Bekach Amar. B'meitzem Bam. Basically, the Ramban is saying there are two levels here. Right? One is something that he calls something that is objectionable intrinsically. It's metai v'sanefesh. It's other places Ramban speaks about being metamte v'salev. Here he speaks about ovi v'gasus haruach. You know, kind of a little bit you are what you eat, but the Ramban doesn't mean physically you are what you eat. Right? He's not saying, oh, it's not good for you. It's kind of like Amaram Shik number two, like, you know, bad, or number one, sorry. It's a bad diet, you know. It's about, again, we don't know, I don't know what this means, but it's spiritually bad for you. There's something about eating this stuff that is metamte, dulls your spiritual, you know, sharpness or whatever it is. I'm not sure what it means, but it's something like that. However, says Ramban, there are other things which don't, you know, but, you know, they're also not an expression of Kiddush, or avoiding them is an expression of Kiddusha. And that's the story with Treyfa. So Abrami and Josh both point out to me also, right, that in the Pasuk in, both of you did, that in the Pasuk in, Abrami's not sure, he's like, either he's saying, no, oh, it was me, it wasn't Josh. Or he's saying, ah, you know, he's being humble. He's saying, no, it's all good. Okay. We don't even want to know which. Go ahead, Abrami. Yeah, and kol she'tiavti lach, which is the language of Toei.
So this, when it says,
yeah, you guys are good. Yeah.
When it lists the things that you shouldn't eat because they're Toei.
Kol she'tiavti, Toei. Yeah.
So it lists only Nevela.
It mentions Nevela, and it explicitly omits, it omits Treifa.
Right.
Okay. So, again, this is, of course, very interesting. I think I already mentioned, we'll hopefully talk more about it, that, you know, treifas, I mentioned a second ago that, you know, there's a machlokas where they make a birchas hashkita on treifa. But we all understand at minimum that a nevela is a hafkas, shkita and nevela are tartan sasri. We've been talking about, you know, whether, you know, whether, you know, eino zavuach is also, you know, just lechazek, you know, nevela, or it's more than that, but clearly, if you do an improper shkita, you know, one of the chisronos, one of the five, you know, missteps, that constitutes nevela. Okay, but treifa is something else. Treifa is something else. The question is, this is something we'll talk about later. Whether, so that's why there could be a question whether you make. No one's going to say, oh, you did a shkita, but you know, you did it wrong. You know, it's a nevela, so but you should make, you know, you did the, you slit the simanim, you did part of it correctly, so they could, no one will think that. Right? Even though the kind of the closest thing we have to it was that whole discussion of Rabbi Brahman and Rambam, you know, saying that, you know, Zabuach is, you know, when you're in the process of the shechita and you mess it up. Right? Okay, but when it comes to treifa, right, treifa is not a nevela. There's no tumas nevela in the treifa because you're motzi miday nevela, but there's treifa. But the question does arise: A, aside from that, is treifa comparable to nevela? And what Ramban is saying, based on the pasuk in Shmos, Anche Kodesh Tiyun Li, is absolutely not. It's a different madrega. Right? It's more of a positive requirement to avoid. You know, to it's more of an expression of Kiddush Yisrael. It's not an expression of timtum balev or ovi or gasus or Toeva, etc. You could go further. Again, Reb Chaim, this is very famous. Reb Elbel quotes it in the one of the letters in the back. The Rambam in Hilchos Shaar Avos HaTumah, we'll get this later on, in the year, compares treifa and Shkitas Akum. Okay, the Rambam in Hilchos Shaarav Sanhedrin. So the question, of course, is what does one thing have to do with the other? Right, Shkitas Akum is a chisaron in the ability to be shochet or to accomplish the goal of shkita, but treifa is an iser of the Torah. Basar basada treifa lo tochelu. What does it have to do with Shkitas Akum? So Reb Chaim, Reb Elul quotes the name Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim is of the opinion that the hagdara of treifa is the lack of heter shkita. It's not even like a. It is a lav, but the nature of what it is a situation where there's no heter shkita. So that's, you want to say, that's the common denominator. Shkita problem, shkita sakum, is that there's no heter shkita. There could be a maisa shkita. We'll discuss that later. But okay, this is an interesting question. But the truth is that, you know, here the Ramban, what he says about treifa, he could have easily said about Nevela. And according to the Trump and according to the Sfarno, you know, maybe you should. And certainly according to many things that we've been seeing, maybe you should. Like if you took that Rabbi Raman and Rambam idea, you know, that maybe Nevela is the lack of Shkita, you know, it's not so far from what Reb Chaim says. It is a little, still a little different, you know, about Treifa. Okay. So it's also curious, getting back to the first point in the Pasuk, and again, maybe we'll expand on this another time we get a chance. Lo tohu kol nevela, la gera asher b'sharecha titnena v'achal. Right? O machor l'nachri. So again, you might argue that both in nevela and in treifa, the Torah tells you, not, you know, it's not just that olamaisa, there's no yisraima. And I'm just like telling you, like, you know, you know, like it's bal tashchis if you don't, you know, like kelev tashlichu noso, or give it to a nachri machor, or you know, give it to him as a matana. So, like, why is it doing that? Like, what's the big deal? To say, you know, you're not allowed to eat it, but there's no iser hana. We all know you can do that whenever you want. You can feed it to your dog. You can give it as a gift. Like, what's going on? Moreover, I told you to look at the Gemara in Amar Zara, Samach Zayin. This is a. I know I didn't tell you this yesterday, but. A few days, like a week ago or a week and a half ago, Akiva saw it. Famous Gemara appears in a few places actually. Yoni,
one that says that a Gertosha is someone.
Yeah, who is a Gertosha? Like a very important question. What is a Gertosha? Identify a Gertosha. What is the criterion for being Gertosha? So, what does the Gemara say there?
Gives three options.
Yeah, excellent. Ezu Gertoshav, what are the options? The Rabbi Meir. Okay, meaning he makes a proclamation in the presence of a Beis Din, right, to reject Avodah Zarah. Okay. He just has to formally, again, that's how something Farshim explained. What do you mean? Every Ben Noach has an obligation. Let's say he's a Makabel, it's almost like a Gerus for a Gertosha. Right? So either it's, you know, Lo Lavad of Adazara formally, or it's Kabbalah Zayin Mitzvot. It's a fascinating question, right? Kabbalah Zayin Mitzvot formally, yeah. Then you have a Cherim Omrim. Yeah, that's a strange formulation. Like, what is that? Of all faith, first of all, why the prominence of Nevela, right, in this context? Like, what's that really all about? Moreover, right, what is that a positive thing? Or meaning, obviously, Nevela is playing a very important role in this formulation for some reason. But, I mean, he's dafka supposed to eat nevela, or not to be makbid, not to eat nevela, or just that's the differentiating factor, right? Is makabel mitzvos? What is this? Huh. So, if you look at the Rambam in terms of psak, Minuchas Melachim, Rambam says makabel zayin mitzvei noach b'fnei bezdin. But Rashi, typically, when the status of Ger Toshav comes up. Not all places in Shas, but in most, you know, the large majority of them. And in this Perush Al HaTorah a few times, Parshas Bahar, other times, where the Torah mentions Ger Toshav, Rashi typically zeroes in on the fact that he's Ochol Nevelos. He doesn't say Kol Mitzvot Schutz Mi Nevela, we don't pass it that way, right? But it's almost like the Hagdara of Ger Toshav includes Achilas Nevelos. That's very strange. Yerushalmi Nivamos Chesalef also makes it seem as if the eating of the Nevelos is not just, you know, a way of demarcating he's not obligated in that, but, you know, maybe he should eat Nevelos. Like, what is that? Oh. But I think that the answer may very well be, if you take the view that Nevela is not a davar mechuar or a davar metuav, you know, in its own right. And this us also remember that, well, we're going to get to this in a minute, that according to Rabbi Akiva in the Midbar, right, Klal Yisrael was eating what, you know, what we now call the velos. Right? They were eating basar nechira. Right? And only when they came into Klal Yisrael, they only came to into Eretz Yisrael, sorry, did that become under the rubric of the Nevela. There was a Nevela before, but what was Mugdar's Nevela was different. That's a remarkable thing. I mean, the Ramban says this, we're going to get to play in a couple of minutes. When the Ramban talks about Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva, he says, like, they're very Mechudash. You know, the Chiddush, he says, of Rabbi Kiva is like, where's that line? Okay. It's like, Heichan Matzinu, I got the Ramban in front of me somewhere, yeah. Something like here it is. Ud Rabbi Shmuel Domer Basa Nechira L'Ishtri. Why? Why does Rabbi Shmuel not like Rabbi? Shelo Matzino Chovas Aguf Tluya BeBias Haaretz. Right. We're not talking about Trumas of Isras or Bikurim even. Right, we're talking about Nevela. How could it be that the status of Nevela after Matan Torah in the Midbar was one thing, and then all of a sudden Kinisa La'aretz, you know, we expanded Nevela. Right? And again, the answer isn't that there was a heter achilas Nevela in the Midbar. The answer is that the Hagdara of what constitutes Nevela changed in the Midbar. So it's not so much that the Chovas HaGuf changed as did the Hagdara of Nevela. But, frankly, that isn't as Mechudash, maybe. But it is still pretty Mechudash. Like on a Mechudash, you know, scale. You know, it's not the eighth, let's say, of the way the Ramban, of how we Rabbi Shmuel. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel is not that way. Rabbi Shmuel saying, you know, Nechira is Nevela. So there was you were allowed to eat some Nevelos and not others, you know, and then you weren't allowed to eat any Nevelo, like Heichan Matzinu. Okay, so let's say Rabbi Akiva, perhaps, maybe Rabbi Akiva will admit that. Or maybe Rabbi Akiva will say, no, it's Lo Tzrichim Lahagzim, right? You know, it's you're never allowed to eat Nevela, but what changed was whether Basar Nechira is considered to be Basar Nevela. But as I say, so that's a sixth on the quotient. Still pretty high. Right? What is that? Oh. So the more you think that Basar Nevela is, you know, Davar Metuav, a Davar Habitamte Misalev, you know, something which, you know, is inherently objectionable in some way, whether physically, spiritually, or spiritually, you know, I don't want to get into that at the moment, then the more this is like just shocking. But if you read the Psukim, again, not the way the Ramban read it, that the whole thing is on Basa B'chala. But like the Sfardo read it, or the simple pshat, according to the Trump, right? And you compare it to, you know, the Torah says the same kind of thing, you know, by Trefa and by Nevela. But we understand that Trefa is even less than Nevela. That's for sure in the hierarchy. But the idea that, you know, And then you consider that a kablakelev tashlichu noso, and here it's, you know, lager, Hashem b'sharecha titnena v'achala. And then you think about the view, you know, that that's what differentiates ger toshav from a member of Klal Yisrael. And that he dafka should eat it, maybe? Is that what we're saying? And then Rashi always quoting that, even though he doesn't really accept that view fully. But there's something about the Isra of Nevela, you know, that is reflecting on this. Again, next to Klal Yisrael, and Ger Toshav is a very high status, as we know. Right? So maybe the idea is, again, obviously what I'm trying to project here for all of this, is that, you know, okay, it goes way back to the beginnings. And again, the irony, even though the Ramban kind of doesn't want to read, not in, you know, Kol Shetiavti Lacha, not in the, you know, Basa Mechalav Pasa, but, you know, he's the one who's kind of saying most of the rest of it, you know. I guess it just means that since you're, there's no Tzar Balei Chaim concern, and there's no, and there's no, you know, focus on avoiding, I guess, you know, the nefesh habehema. So it's still enough, you know, to be gasus and ovia ruach and whatever. Okay, but one could have said, and even for the Ramban, I think you would say that's still true because Klal Yisrael has a very high standard. It's still a function of the very high standard. Trefa is totally a function of that, and Nevela kind of meets it, you know, halfway. But part of explaining that and celebrating what's unique about, in a way, it's almost like the Rambam, what I was saying for the Rambam in Ribbis and Shemitas Ksafin. I should add that we, in Sefer Mitzvos, he does use the expression of Nezek, as Asher pointed out. I think the Nezek there means, you know, in a competitive way, meaning, you know, push your full economic advantage. In the other places, in Yalach HaTzakah, in both places, and in Sefer Mitzvos regarding Shemitas Ksafim, which is the same idea, he doesn't use that expression. But the point of that, what I was trying to suggest for the Rambam was that, you know, what your view is with regard to the non-Jew, like, why do you care one way or another? Is because it highlights the way to look at this Iser for Klal Yisrael. I think that's what's going on in Lager Asher B'Sharecha Titnena V'Achala, or in the case of Trefa, Lakelev Tashlichu Noso, meaning the Torah wants to go out of its way, or the Halacha wants to go out of its way to tell you, right, that, you know, this is fine for non-Jew, it's not bad at all, it's good even to give it to them, you know, because that accentuates even more what the prohibition or the abstention, you know, from it is as a shiur in Kedushas Yisrael. Okay, so even the Ger Toshav should eat it. Right? He doesn't have this. He's missing Kedushas Yisrael. Oh. But that would make, I think, you know, a lot of sense, both in terms of psukim and in terms of, you know, this is like an interesting question in general. What do you, you know, do you make a bracha on Macholos Asuros, you know, if you're eating them anyway? And what about in the state of Pikuach Nefesh? Okay. So those are double machloksim all over the place. Rishonim in 7th Perek of Brachos, in the context of Zimud and Berachos HaMazon talk about it. And they talk about it in other places too. It is an interesting question. Right, so again, partly it's the Hilchos Brachos question. Partly it's a way, you know, how do you look at machlok, you know, and it's partly a Hilchos Brachos question, let me say that way. It's partly a, in the case of Pikuach Nefesh, a Hutra Dechuya question. But certainly a good chunk of the question is how do you look at these Isurim? The more you think that Isurim are Chetza Shel, Tiyuv, or, you know, or Dvarim HaMetamtimim Misaleim, the more, you know, You ascribe some sort of physical / spiritual consequence for the reason for the prohibition and for the effect of eating it, right, the more you would think that it doesn't deserve a bracha. Right? And maybe even in the context of Pikuach Nefesh, it doesn't deserve a bracha. Whereas if you think it's all just, you know, an Issa Gavra, it's all just nothing to do with the food, not even on a spiritual level, you know, it's all just, you know, then you're much more flexible about saying, well, that doesn't mean you should violate two things. At least you can thank the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Or and, in a state of Pikuach Nefesh, and you have to eat it anyway. So that kind, especially if you say kind of a hutra, even if you say Dekuya, there's a Heter Gavra, so you should be more. Okay, but what about the possibility of distinguishing between, you know, different cases? So, for example, it comes up, like, what about Yom Kippur? Achilah b'Yom Kippurim. You know, like we said the other day, we were talking about, again, Ebisu Chalal Iser, right? That, you know, we don't typically think that on Yom Kippur, the whole, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the whole world, you know, all food turns into Macholos Asuros, right? But that's one place maybe to draw the line, and Rishonim discuss it. There are the Ritvan in Brachos. Yeah, the Achronim speak about it, Poskim. But what about the question of different Macholos Asuros themselves? You don't find this much. I'm just saying, based on our present discussion, that this might be an issue. Right? In other words, is there a difference between Treifa for the Ramban? Is there a difference between Treifa and Nevela? Is there a difference between Basar B'Chalav and Nevela? I don't know what the relationship is between Basar B'Chalav and Treifa. That's an interesting question, too. Right? Is there a difference between Nevela and Chazir, you know, or Tebel? So this could be an interesting question, meaning the more we think these are Isurei Gavra, you know, but the Chafza itself, nothing wrong with this particular Chafza. It's about, you know, making a Kedushas Yisrael point. The more flexible you might be. Or, for example, in Machilin Oso Akal, there's a concept in the Gemara, in Masechet Yoma, of Machilin Oso Akal Akal. I mean, if somebody is in a state of Pikuach Nefesh and he has to eat, so you should give him the lesser. So lesser defined by the onesh only? The chomer ha-onesh? What about a suggested hierarchy of, you know, taboo foods, you know, foods that are really repugnant, foods that are, you know, damaging to your spiritual health, damaging to your physical health, damaging to your spiritual health, right? Objectively damaging to your spiritual health, or just, you know, symbolically because of what they, you know, represent. And what about if there are, whether it's Treifa or Basar B'Chalav or maybe the Vela, things that are prohibited because you're supposed to, you know, live a life of Kedusha, but even a Ger Toshav shouldn't refrain from them. Like, there's no point. It's just inconsistent. It would be a Yora, if you will. You know, for a Ger Toshav, you know, not to eat Nevela, or not to eat Treifa, or not to eat Basar B'Chalav. I don't know if that's the case, I'm saying. You know, I can imagine it. Because it doesn't get him any benefit, given the rest of his lifestyle, even though he's living a very high lifestyle. Right? If this is a function of Kedushas Yisrael, now again, within the lifestyle of Kedushas Yisrael, it's not only, you know, a non-positive, it also could be a negative. But you get my idea. So whether it's machilinos or akalakal, or, you know, making a bracha in a state of pikuach nefesh, or making a bracha when you go ahead and you eat macholas asuros just so you're not, you know, adding another violation. In theory, the hierarchy of isurim might be very relevant. Is there a hierarchy of isurim when it comes to the relationship between macholas asuros and isuri anah? Also an interesting question. Meaning, if something is also bahana, does that make it a more chomor, not an onesh, because that you can tell each time. Does it make it a more chomor macholos asuros by virtue of the fact that it's also asar bahana? Especially in light of la kelev tashlichu noso, la ger, you know, asher b'sharecha titnenu v'achala, you know, etc. So these are interesting questions. These are important questions. Okay, we're running out of time. There's a question, or we're good? Yeah.
How does Rabbi think the Ramban would explain that they
need more than one?
Seeing as Ramban doesn't describe.
I don't think that's. I think that's. I kind of tried to, you know,
allude to that.
I mean, I don't think that the Ramban himself makes it perfectly clear in the other context that we were discussing, you know, that Nevela is very connected to the mitzvah of Shechita. Right. Again, by introducing Shechita and all that into the Adam discussion, the Noach discussion. Again, the Adam and Noach discussion, even when he talks about Shutei Chutz and so on and so forth. Meaning, I don't think that the Ramban necessarily thinks that Nevela is the equivalent of other Machalos Asuras. I just think that he doesn't think that it is as innocuous as Vasa Mechalov and Treif. So I think he still has room for it. It's just that what he says in those two places is not Mechazek, that idea. I think what he says in other places is. So I don't think he would have trouble with it, but I would have been happier if the Ramban had read the Pasuk in Dvarim like this time. But he didn't. So it shows that he still believes that there's a more subtle hierarchy. And given what he says about Treifa, I think that's understandable. I also think it makes sense. Meaning, you know, Treifa is Latin, even if you don't say what Reb Chaim said, but it's clear that Treifa is not Nevela. And it's also clear that Basa B'chalav is, you know, a very fascinating, you know, different model for Yisurim that the Gemara says all the time, right? Because you have Heter B'Heter. And, you know, Heter B'Heter creating an Yisur. You have this in terms of, you know, Chatichat Nasas Nevela. You know, and other kind of issues. So, in a way, the Ramban is helpful in establishing a hierarchy. I don't think that hierarchy negates that Nevela, you know, is still a function of Kedushas Yisrael and Shechita, just not Ad Kedei Kach as the other two.
So shouldn't the mitzvah that the Gir Toshev does more, should that be trade for a bus of color? Would that make more sense?
I think we're going around the same things. Meaning, had it been, it would have been very sensible. I just think he's drawing the line at a different place. That's all. And I'm saying I don't. It's called Shetiavti Lach. The reason it's Tiavti is because you still haven't neutralized the problem, you know, of Dama Nefesh and all these other things. That's enough to still make it Tiavti, but that's still a function of, you know, chiyuvim that you have in terms of Kedushas Yisrael, as opposed to maybe things that are more objectively repugnant, and therefore can still distinguish, you know, Klal Yisrael and Gerut Hoshev. That's what I'm suggesting. Yeah.
I think partly the Ramban just forced by the Kol Shetiavti one, because right before the interpretation on Kiyam Kadosh, he's kind of forced to put Nevela and Treifa. He's kind of forced to divide between them, because he thinks that because Treifas are made it from that, you know, Kol Shetiavti, it has to be treated differently than Nevela.
Right. In other words, it could be that, like, and I was like hinting at this. This is what I'm answering to Benjamin as well. But meaning, I made reference to, like, you know, physical, spiritual, you know, meaning. We're not talking about dietary things, you know, in a medical way or a physiological way, not even in a modern shik way. And therefore, it is still possible that there are certain things are a toeva or a tiavti by virtue of the fact that they were made iser, or that you have alternatives, you know, that are symbolically significant, you know, to avoid them. And therefore, not doing that is kind of when you're obligated, is kind of an embrace of certain ideas, or a rejection at least of the opportunity to express, you know, greater Kedusha. So even Metamte Misalev, I'm not sure how much Metamte Misalev is an objective spiritual impact, again, one which I don't have any clue how it works, or it too is a, you know, function, you know, it's kind of like an onesh or an effect, you know, having been established, you know, that you had a Kiddush alternative that you bypass. And we're going to see something very similar in our next point, which is the point of Basar Taiba and what took place in the Midbar. Good? Yeah, you would have.
Is the question of whether you get Rambam and the question of Chumar HaEsser, or is it the question of Kiddush HaSichel? Those two things don't necessarily align.
Are you talking about Bracha Mitzvah?
Well, here it would be Bracha Men, but I guess what I'm saying in this particular What we're talking about by whether
you make I mean what I was talking about a second ago. I mean whether in Macholos Asuros you should make a bracha or a Pikuach Nefesh or... Yeah, what are you asking?
So I guess I'm asking is... I wasn't exactly clear if the question is one of Chomer HaEtzer or if it's one of Kedushas Yisrael, because those two things are opposites in this circumstance.
Again, you know, we know that Birchas HaNenin is a matir, and that's connected to Kol HaNenin Ben Olamazeb La Bracha Reza Mahal. It has a Me'ila, you know, connotation. The question is it, you know, how excluded are these items from food? You know, if it's just an Iser Gavra, I'm not talking about the question whether you treat it as an Iser Gavra, it's not the Iser Chef, so that is a related question, but I don't want to get into that. Today is in the Rajbo, the Ritva, in a bunch of places. You know, the Post can speak about it. You know, whether it's Hatfasan, Macholos Asuros, things like that. But what all I'm saying is that the more you look at these things as, you know, food, but the easier it is to say, well, why... You know, why also violate Me'ila? Is really what I'm saying. And the more that they're not food, you know, therefore they're not food because they're completely off the diet list, and they're off for good objective reasons, then, you know, that's not Me'ila. You know, again, you know, it's Achilas Dabar Batua. That's what I'm saying.
It's not a question to say that Kedushas Yisrael, which is.
Yeah, I would say so. But again, whether if you have certain status in Machalos Asuros that are a function of ignoring the higher calling of Kedushas Yisrael, then that's going to impact, you know, how you look at that Isur. So indirectly, it's connected to Kedushas Yisrael, not directly. Yeah.
The Nachman about Isur Hanah. It works backwards on the Ramban and said that
Basal Chala
is
not Mitzvah. Yeah, no, I wasn't saying in all cases either, but 100%. In other words, you're pointing out an interesting irony, and Basal Chala is Asur Bahana. And not only Asur Bahana, but it's even Asur Shalok Kederech, you know, Achilasa Bahana Aso, because it's, you know, Derech Bishol Asur Torah. And yet the Ramban is suggesting that, you know, it's the poster child for, you know, Kedoshim Tiyuv, as opposed to Tiyuv, or Tantem Salat. That's true. Again, that could just be true about Basa B'Challah, because in Basa B'Challah, again, this is part of the famous discussion of the Rambam and others, what's known as the Kuda Nifla. They're learning Cholin, right? That's a Pirushim Ram, Pirushim Shnayis in Krisos, but very connected to the sugyas later on in Kolabasar, and that is whether or not the relationship between Isra Hanah and Isra Achila, what that relationship is generally, I alluded to that, and whether or not that relationship is different in Basa B'Chalam, because the Torah doesn't use the language of Achila, but the language of Bishol, you know, or not. So the Nekuda Nifla discusses this question with regard to Isra Mosif. You know, is Isra Hanah generally, and what about Basa B'Challah and Isra Mosif? Rambam discusses that in Pirushim Shnayis Krisos, and there's a famous, equally famous Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, where the Rambam discusses whether or not you should count, you know, the Isra of Bishol, the Isra of Hanah, the Isra of Achila three times. I mean, three or one. That's also an issue. And then you have also the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei Torah, where he discusses the problem of Shalok Kederach, you know, in terms of Basa B'Challah. So it could be, I mean, the irony that you're pointing out is correct. I meant it more in general, the things that are Asur B'Achila, Uba Hanah, and where the Isra Hanah flows from the Isra Achila. It's like, so it's a more acute expression of it. The question is whether that's what's happening in Basa B'Challah also or not. Right. In terms of Psukim, I'll just add, you know, you could, the Asnachta, you could have read the pasuk exactly the opposite of the Ramban. Right? You could have said that the Kedushas Yisrael part goes on to Vela, and then Torah says separately, right? So that's interesting as well. And, right, you might say, you know, on the one hand, the ingredients are Heta B'Heter, On the other hand, you know, who's to say that heter ingredients don't create this explosive, you know, spiritual, you know, cocktail that is, you know, that is even worse. Right. So it's a good horror. Okay, let's continue. Oh, it's later. So let's talk now about Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Yeah. Okay. You want to read Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? Tazayin on base. We'll just start it. We'll finish it on Yitz Hashem on Sunday. Let's just get through the... Because I say this whole episode, even before we begin, we had allusions to it in the Tshuva. Our Rebbe Yosef Palat, of course. It was alluded to in Rashi, Ala Torah, in the context of Basa Taiva, obviously. And, you know, referring to, kind of like he sounds like he's actually joining the Rabbi Shmuel team. Although we may pass on Rabbi Akiva, it's an interesting point we're talking about. And of course, you know, we have alluded to it a couple of times. So the phenomenon itself is just a fascinating thing. I just noted the language in the Ramban. And that is, you know, Hechad Matzinu, such a thing that in the Midbar after Matan Torah, you know, that the full Dinei Torah won't apply. Right? Everything else applied. What didn't apply were mitzvahs on tluyos ba'aretz, because there's no knisa la'aretz, so there's no chala, there's no trumos, there's no ma'isros. Maybe other dinim, dinei Eretz Yisrael, also won't yet apply. Fine. But, you know, which karbanos did they bring in the midbar when there was a mishkan? Also an interesting question. All's fine. But where do we find that a lav, like an avela, you know, is affected, or a question of heter and iser, like basar taiva, depending on who you're talking about, that there should be a stage after Matan Torah, prior to Knisa La'aretz, in which the halacha, the normative halacha, is different. That's just a very, very rare thing to find. Again, you can end up neutralizing it if you want, but I don't mean if you want. I mean, you have to look at the evidence and see what they do with it. But it sounds like a... important chapter. Now, if that important chapter is about something, you know, which from the very beginning of time, literally, you know, and the remaking or refashioning or the creation of the refashioning of the world, you know, is also like this very central topic, you know, and, you know, moreover, we're finding that both the language that the Torah uses and even the halacha, what's a gertosha, et cetera, you know, that we're focusing on shechita in a very magnified, you know, or microscopically, you know, way. So, you know, that in addition to the rare phenomenon that it is, you know, it even becomes more significant, right, to figure this out. And obviously we now, I mean, everybody understands where we're trying to go. We just have to see whether it's justified. Obviously, what I'm trying to suggest is that this transition in the midbar, whether it's Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva's, is possibly connected to the symbolic role of Achilas Basar and Shechita, you know, going all the way back from Adam, you know, to Noach. You know, again, the Ramban's anticipating Shechita already for Adam and Noach. You know, and the phenomenon of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is that we're delaying Shechita somewhat for Klal Yisrael post Matan Torah. Those are two opposite phenomena, you know, that are two sides of the same coin, basically. Right? Okay, good. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. We'll just read it. I mean, I know we have to stop, but at least let's get the Shakamataria in, then we'll talk about the Rishon of Lubavitch. Go ahead. Hakol shochtin.
Hakol shochtin. Hakol b'shchita. Aviva ofka olam shochtin. Man tana. So we said, I'm a rabba.
Rabba. Rabba.
Rabba.
Right. Rabbi Shmuel. Those apsukim that we already saw seem to be the makar for achilas basar taiva and shchita v'zavachta v'achalta. Correct. Yeah. So Rabbi Shmuel has a take on that. Okay, what is his take? Rabbi Shmuel Omer.
lo ba kasut ella la tir lahem baser taiva shetfila nasar lahem baser taiva. And then mishinech nesularet hotar lahem baser taiva.
Yeah.
Yakshav she galu yachol yakseru yisurin kavishin v'kach sheninu l'olam shochtem.
Okay, so let's just stop for a second. Again, we'll just touch on it now, but we'll finish this off hopefully. And start. I want to start straight on Sunday. Again, read through the Shaklat Atari till base on the base, just to know, because again, that's relevant to the why is Chulin in this, in this part of the Mishnayos and the Gemara, and so on and so forth. We'll get to that. The Kaf Shanina Le'olam Shop. So what? So just even on the surface, what Rabbi Shmuel says is Mechudash. It's obvious. What do you think?
So. Especially because where do we get the fact that there's an Issa originally from Baser Taiva?
Where do we get what?
The idea that there's an Issa originally from
Baser Taiva. Why should there be an Issa Baser Taiva post Matan Torah when there's going and especially when there's going to be a Heter Baser Taiva, right? In what would be the reason for the Issa Baser Taiva? That's what we're really kind of asking. It sounds like even Alidei Shechita, right? You're going to do a shechita. Why were we more machmir in the midbar, right, than we are later in Eretz Yisrael, or to make it even clearer, than Maimon Har Sinai and its Mesora established as being the normative law? Why would there be such a delay? Okay, that's what we did figure out. Maskeflor Rabbi Yosef, and one second. Moreover. The Gemara originally thought, "Vachshav shagalu," right? Yachol yasur lisur na risho. Kach shani lelam shok. What's the? What do you make of that? Originally, I thought, "Oh, if you're outside, the only time there's a heter achilas baser taiva is in Eretz Yisrael. But if you're in galus, you're back to the midbar." Wow. Again, like what is that? That's a Gemara. Maskel Rabbi Yosef.
Maskel Rabbi Yosef. Hi, leolam shokten. Leolam shokten veochlin ba'elai.
Yeah.
The
Karvi
Lamishkan.
The Rachki Mimishkan. So it's like Kiyarchiv, Kiyarchiv, Yarchik, right? So therefore. So why would there be a Havamina that in Galus you'd go back to the Midbar when people are even more dispersed? That's why we sometimes call the Galus the diaspora, the dispersion, right? Because people were spread out. So, very, very strange. But we need answers for that those questions. Right? What is this Easter all about? What would it be based on? And why would you think at all that Galus and Eretz Yisrael are Kobeya, not Richuk and Kiruv? Okay, those are the questions for Rabbi Shmuel. Go ahead, Elam Rav Yosef. Let's get it all on the record first. Elam Rav Yosef.
Rabbi Kivi is the Manamar Tatania.
Lasum Shmo Sham. The Bachta. Go ahead.
So Rabbi Kivi Omer Lo Ba Kasev Ella Lasur Lahen Basar Nechira.
So it's not that we are Makel in Eretz Yisrael for Basar Taiva, which is Rabbi Shmuel. Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we were Machmir in the Midbar. And Mekel in Eretz Yisrael, and the question is, and the Havamina that maybe we should be Machmir in Chutz La'aretz as well. Correct? And for Rabbi Akiva, it's exactly the opposite. We were Mekel in the Midbar. What were we Mekel about?
Allowing
Basar Nechira. Or maybe the right way to say it is we weren't yet Machmir. It's hard to know. Okay, let's just keep it this way. We were Mekel in the Midbar. We're machmir in Eretz Yisrael, right? So betchila hutal and basa nechira bishnichlus aretz nesel and basa nechira. Go ahead. Lehateiran arishon. So the havamina here is that we should go back to the kula of basa nechira. Okay, kosher meat. Imagine that. You wouldn't have to pay for kosher meat. Right? Cafeteria prices would be lower. You would get all this... Alright, anyway. We won't go there. Okay. But Baruch Hashem, we you know, we didn't go that route. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, two opposites. In Rabbi Shmuel, the trick is to figure out what is wrong with Basar Taiba al Yidei Shechita, right? And for Rabbi Akiva, the trick is to figure out how could it ever be that there would be a heter of Basar Nechira in the Midbar? And for both cases, to figure out the Galus angle. Okay, the Gemara expands a little more. Go ahead. Gemaika Miflagi.
Rabbi Akiva Savar Basar Taiba lo Tzari Klal. Rabbi Shmuel Savar Basar Nechira lo Ishtari.
Okay, so that's good. Again, the Gemara is really helping us, meaning in crystallizing this whole thing. Meaning, for Rabbi Akiva, the notion that there was ever an Isur Basar Taiba, that Shechita would not work, Lahatir Basar Chulin, post Matan Torah, it just doesn't make sense. The pressure's on Rabbi Shmuel to explain, you know, why would we be so restrictive? Okay? And Rabbi Shmuel probably makes even more sense in that respect, right? By Paschal like Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Shmuel says, what? I mean, you know, the Isur, so there's a Chumra in the Midbar that you can't eat Basar Taiba. That's more difficult to explain than you can go to McDonald's and, you know, and you can eat at the Midbar McDonald's. Like, that's impossible, right? Lo Ishtari Basar Nechira Klal. Okay, go ahead. Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel.
Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel. Hainu Dixei Bishchad Ben Abakar. Ella Rabbi Akiva Mai.
Why does that help?
I mean, it makes sense for Rabbi Shmuel because he's basically saying that we have the word Shechita in the Midbar.
So okay.
If you do Shechita, why don't you do it by doing Nechira there also?
Because the only way you can eat meat still in the Midbar is through Shechita. It's not through Nechira. Even though Bishchad Ben Abakar refers to Kachim. But Rabbi Shmuel will say, who cares? Right?
So that's Rabbi Akiva's answer.
Yeah. Rabbi Akiva, my Bishacha.
Rabbi Akiva, my Bishacha, Karchim Shaki.
So that's also intriguing. There was a heter Basar Nechira, but not for Karchim. And this, of course, is what in the Tshuva of Rabbi Yosef Palat that he was zeroing in on. He was saying, obviously, Shechita existed, you know, separate from the Vela, because Basar Nechira was mutter, and there was still a din of Shechita for Kachim. Okay, my v'shachad, Kachim shiny. And Rabbi Shmuel thinks that maybe Kachim isn't so shiny, or maybe that's the point. Okay, Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel. Yishachet lahem, I think.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Therefore, he answers the fear of Zuhi Shechita.
Oh, so that also, you know, works a little bit with what I said before. Meaning, what is going on when there's a heter nechira b'midba? Is that there's a heter nevela and the iser nevela only kicks in later, or is it? I mean, everybody agrees that there's some sort of an iser nevela. Like, let's say the behema dies, you're not allowed to eat it. Right? There has to be nechirasa. By the way, it's an interesting phenomenon, right? When you think of the Balitosis of Adam, right, in the hierarchy, so, you know, if the animal just dies, then, you know, you can eat it, right? And we discussed, you know, what if he didn't die of old age, and what happened if, you know, some other nasty, vicious animal attacked him? What if another person? What if a malach? Okay, fine. But at the end of the day, a dead animal is more kosher, you know, than a killed animal. Right? And here, in the Midbar, that was not true anymore. Right? Everybody agrees that a dead animal is an avela. If you, you know, kill the animal for the sake of eating it, that's fine. So, what the Gemara is saying very profoundly is that not that there was no Eastern avela of a Midbar, but that the Hagdara of Nevela was different in the Midbar. Okay, that's very important. Go ahead. By the way, that helps the Rabbi Yosef Palat story too, just to make it clear. In other words, in the Midbar, you know, Shechita had an identity that was separate from Nevela, even though there was Nevela. Right, if there had been no Nevela but Midbar, you know, then the idea of invoking, you know, the Midbar would have been, you know, even more problematic. Okay, go ahead. Bishom Darbi Shmuel, how did it go ahead?
A shochet v'nit nablav yado v'anyocher v'aker pater milchassos.
Pater milchassos. There's no kisei adam because it's not a proper shkita.
El rekiva pater milchassos. So you shouldn't be pater because
you're holding nochers fine. Hovi itzar.
Yeah. What does that mean? Hovi itzar. Since we already not have that shkita zaser, so to
yeah. Okay, good. Bishlom the Rabbi Kiva.
Bishlom the Rabbi Kiva. The Amar Basu Taiva Lo Itzar Kval. Hainu Iksev Ach Kasher Chav Sida the Isle.
Kain Tochalenu. Because it's because that is Basu Taiva. That's not a korban for sure, right?
So other Rabbi Shmuel Sida Ayo Kufi Mihari Shari. So what are you learning from?
What happened to Basu Taiva? Oh, the answer.
Asar Rachmana Behema the Chazi Lagrava Aval Chayid the Chazi Lagrava Lo Asar Rachmana.
Oh. Okay, so this is very important, ha'ara, namely that what? That the din is not that basar taiva per se is asur. The din is that basar taiva is asur when there's a potential for hakravas korban. Right? Okay. The havamina was no, there's just no heter. And the maskana is there's a heter always when it's ain't a roi, but if it's roi, then there's no heter. Ah. Need to understand what that is. What's the difference? Go ahead. Then boy Rabbi Yirmiya. Finally, Ivare Basa Nechira Shechniso Yisraeli Mahen La'aretz Mao. Right? The first 7 years where they had a heter of eating certain machalos asuros in the context of the war. Right? Hashtag the Bar Tame. Go ahead. Ishtarilei. Isher Lahu, sorry. The Tzivim Batim Leim called Tuv, yeah. Kasli de Chaziri, Basar de Chira, Kasli de Chaziri, meaning they could eat Chazer. So Basar de Chira mi boy, right? Ella, the Sheva, you know, Sheva Shino Sachaluka or beyond. Okay. But the two low history, maybe take. Okay, that's the Gemara that we need to get. We'll have to discuss more on time. What's the point? What's this last Ibaya about? Is that relevant to us? I mean, it's curious in its own right. It could all be about, you know, other things, but it also could be relevant to us. Meaning, if the heter in the midbar was because nechirasa is uishchitaso. You know, then it's much easier to explain that the knisa la'aretz wouldn't change. That would depend on the zman ashkita. If the heter was an awareness, right, that this is something less than shkita, I mean, for sure, everybody knows that nechira wouldn't work in karbanos, right? So if it's, again, if it's a heter nevela, it's one thing. If it's that it's not considered nevela, you know, then it might be something else. Okay, it's curious that the Gemara never discussed the opposite case, or the other case. I mean, the Gemara is asking within Rabbi Akiva, why not ask within Rabbi Shmuel? We're not saying, Basar Taiva, according to Rabbi Shmuel, let's say you brought Basar Taiva, you're not allowed to eat it in the Midbar, you shefted it, you're not allowed to eat it. Let's say you brought it into Eretz Yisrael. Are you now allowed to eat it? How come they don't have that question? Well, the Ramban discusses that. Okay, let's leave on one thought before we go. So we have to understand a little bit better Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And there are two very interesting major debates to think about, and that we're going to discuss on Sunday. First one already goes back to Rashi and Tosis, but you have to look at the Ramban and the Chiddush Aran, the Rajba, how they also discussed it. Alex, namely, what would be the reason for there to be an Isur Basar Taiva according to Rabbi Shmuel? What's Rashi's contribution here? Controversial contribution? The what? Which means, correct? Give me a phrase. Halachic phrase. Shkutechutz. Excellent. Right. In other words, Rashi thinks that the problem of Basar Taiva, Bamidbar, was an extension of the din of Shkutechutz. And the Balei Tosus and the Chachmei Sfarad initially, until they found, you know, midrashic support for Rashi, did not like that. Because the Shkut Echutz is a din that applies Ladoros. And it's a din in Kadshim. We're talking about Chulin here. How could you have Shkut Echutz in Chulin? Ah. But then they, Chachmei Sfarad, in the end say, well, I guess maybe you could. And then they make suggestions, which we'll discuss. Right. Now again, in light of our discussion a little bit already about Shkut Echutz, which we had when we read the Pesukim, like, what is the point in Shkut Echutz? Is Shkut Echutz a din in Kadshim? Or is it a din in the opportunity of Kadshim? Or at least the opportunity of an elevated, from a Kedusha standpoint, Achila? Okay, so that's one big issue. And Rashi here says that Shkut Echutz, this is an extension of Shkut Echutz. Tosa says, no, it's based on Pesukim, nothing to do with Shkut Echutz. Okay, that's one point of debate. Within Rabbi Akiva, you have another debate, and that is Nechira, again, it's a massive Kiddush that according to Rabbi Akiva, Nechira is permissible in the Midbar. We already said, not Nevela. What, sums of Nevelos or Nechirasa Zui Shkitasa, meaning it's the Hagdara of Nevela. Okay, that works better for all the Shaklavatari. What remains an interesting question is, let's say you wanted to do Shkita on Basar Taiva in the Midbar. Ah. David? Could you?
The Rambam doesn't think so.
It seems from the language of the Rambam, although some of the earlier notes that came didn't pick up on it, but some of the other ones did. And Rambam already picked up on it. It seems that the Rambam has an unbelievable chiddush, and that is that when you want to eat basar taiva in the midbar, you have to do it al yidei nechira. You're not allowed to do it al yidei shechita. Correct? As opposed to most Rishonim, who think that, you know, if you want to do shechita, you could. The chiddush is that you can also do nechira. Okay, so that's what I want to talk about next time. And again, some of the language of the Rishonim. Obviously, where I'm going with this is I'm going to suggest that at least some of the Mefarshim are trying to say that by definition, shechita comes from the world of Kadshim, that shechita is a way of elevating Achila. The question whether that elevation makes sense outside of the context of Knisa La'aretz, or more to the point, you know, whether or not, you know, when there's the possibility of a higher elevation, namely korban, you know, does it make sense, you know, to do a korbanesque act on chulin when you can actually bring a korban? Maybe it just, that's ridiculous. It shows it's not korbanesque, right? So those are the two perspectives that I'm going to obviously suggest more, as opposed to just being technical change in Yisr. And I think it has to do with Rabbi Shmuel, but it also has to do with Rabbi Akiva. Namely, you know, the full shechita, at least for Chulin, you know, only makes sense at a later point. And the idea of doing shechita to basar Chulin is kind of a kuchot lula. Okay. So that's what we want to finish with next time, and then we want to start with a few other points, and then start from the beginning with Shabbat.
What?